Okay, I literally, when I took a walk down, well, I'll say a drive down memory lane. This is interesting. This is the truth. A friend of mine came in town a little bit earlier than they thought, and I thought it was going to be like coffee over, an evening fire and that for Christmas. And the rain came in, and they weren't expecting it to be as early, and I wasn't either, than it was. So it was kind of like, and they had a couple of, extended family friends that were going to be there too, and we just, it just went, as he said, it's just completely just a washout. So listen to my podcast, and his parents were like, you know what, you should take her up on a walk down, which is actually end up being a drive down memory lane, because he was really curious of these places, and his dad was, his dad was too, of these places that I used to go as a really, really young child. And actually researching in the backstory of both of the houses, and the two gentlemen who always had the traditional huge Christmas light display, and every year they added on to it. I realized they literally started this. One of them had started this in, I believe it was 1970. So that's crazy. It was before I was even born. So to say that this was like a tradition because church was right there, and we used to cut through to go back home and stuff, it's not a joke. It literally has been since I can remember, the light displays. It's crazy. But decided instead is you could just we'll go ahead and we'll meet halfway, because I can't do, I realized with things going on, ovarian, and didn't get resolved with oncology and that, and I realized too by oncology and those that came in town is you're going to be stuck with this rest of your life. You're going to die with this. Ain't nobody going in surgically. It would just be impossible. It's still wrapped. It would take a hell of a surgeon, not saying one wasn't brave enough to say, I'll do it, but it takes at least three surgeon specialists. And it just, once they looked at everything, agreed, and the scans after oncology treatments is just, no, it's just, agree with everybody else, and with Cleveland Clinic and Mayo Clinic, and just everybody said, no, there's no surgical. The risks are too far great, what make it out. So I cannot drive really long distance anymore. Like past an hour, you can forget it, because then it starts getting to me. And then I end up paying for it because I get really nauseous and I end up in a lot of pain the next day. So I told him, if I could, like, I'll bring my heating pad and meet both, meet halfway. And then, because I was dressed, was not dressed for occasion either, because it started really pouring down. Because it's back in Ohio, we went. Where I used to, where I grew up at, where I grew up in Ohio, and in the memory lane of where, places I used to go to, every Christmas and Christmas Eve, it's part of tradition. And I say Christmas past, the death of Christmas past, and just your memories really is what I meant, because it's gone. And it's really just all just memories now. You don't really think of the true terminology of memories of your holidays until you lose the majority of what you were used to, and all you have is what's in your mind, besides photos and things. But reality of the memory of actually doing the things and seeing and how it made you feel is really just mental. It is. It's a memory. That's something that, even with the displays gone, that cannot take away is the happiness and joy and looking forward to things like that. And I took pictures, and I researched because their dad and mom was like, I'm curious to see what it looked like when it was decorated, because they're not from Ohio and they're not originally from Indiana, they're from down south. And I said it used to be like, it was huge. Like one house, it was, it wasn't a big house, but they took every inch of the exterior and even a porch in the front, and they literally took every inch, an opportunity, and just filled it with all sorts of decorations from really, really old to current, and then the other house was right around the corner, and it wasn't a big house and not a big property either, and they did the same. And then they ended up buying a house down just right down the street on a corner, and it had a really big lot and it had a spare garage. And reading about the gentleman, I always wondered why his cars were always parked outside and never used the garage. He never used the garage when he bought this house, because he knew when he bought the house, this would be a perfect opportunity for me to get my old animatronics, the old store. He bought a lot of store bought, like the old Macy's stores and things, these animated figurines, Christmas figurines, and all these Santas he collected, and this really beautiful train display that had old parts and new parts, and he made a lot of his decorations, and it was just a place where he could make sure it was secure, and he just used this whole garage, this detached garage that was added onto the property when he bought it. And then being able to take a reindeer display that he had actually, it used to just was, you know, stand type of standstill display, and he made it mechanical by, I believe it was a washing machine motor. It was. These are things I researched on and put a little bit on here, but I'll copy and paste of some of the story in that if I can. Just old newspaper clippings and that. And I said to my friend of mine for their parents, and they were just, they were flabbergasted. It was interesting because their dad said the two gentlemen were almost identical, close to age, less than 5 years apart. And they both sadly passed from cancer. One was pancreatic cancer, and I cannot think of the other, gentleman's, but one was the display had just stopped in 2021. I had just missed it. And the weird thing was, is all this stuff with Eric going on, the shenanigans and that. And I remember telling Eric 2 years ago, I really need to go to this. I feel like I need to go see this display. I really want to go see this display and that. It's crazy, you know? And then I think of all the years with all the nonsense going on. And it's not a joke when I say all that craziness and dysfunction took a toll, because it took part of my... of what I was used to, so damn stressed out, and everybody going after each other, and it literally affected not just a decade of not having any recollection of memories or holidays, because so damn stressed out. Surprised I didn't have a goddamn heart attack, that's the truth. I remember my therapist or my psychologist in Ohio saying, you're gonna have a heart attack. And then going and moving to Indiana, trauma therapist last 2 years, you know, you get stuff away, you're glad, you know, because you have a heart attack or stroke or something. I mean, constantly fight flight mode is not normal. But I lost out on a lot of traditions in that. You know, realizing, you know, the animosity's strong. I have a lot of animosity. You know, I really do. I'm working on it with therapy. Anybody say anything? You don't need to work on it with therapy. But I have very strong, very, very strong, sharp animosity. Because that's a lot of, you know what, this should never be happening. Everybody needs to sit their butt with a counselor. Yeah, get out of your ego and too good my butt. You know, that takes you. Yeah. It did no good even saying anything. Because I've said enough stuff over the years, it did no good. It fell on deaf ears, you know? That's all I gotta say. But I mean, that was part of tradition for me. And I feel burned about it because I feel like it's the truth. It's like, take it away. You know, that was a whole decade. I could have filled photo albums up, you know, because I always take my pictures off my cell phones and put in photo albums. And it's like, that's a whole decade that the displays were still going on before both these gentlemen passed. You know? What the hell? I'm not that damn cold and cruel where I'm going to literally go doing something to where it affects somebody's damn holidays, to where I'm gonna make sure that they're not gonna be around for anything during the holidays, especially when it comes to step family, extended family. Sorry, you did it. And you got help, that's for sure. You definitely got help. So yeah, I have a hell of a lot of resentment. And I don't think anybody, in fact, nobody blamed me. You know? But that's like over a whole decade. Now these are pictures, these are interesting because this is what the properties, you know, I was able to get the addresses booped out, but it wouldn't matter anyway because they're on historic sites of light displays and that. And one was a national site or something, or a state national site or something, because it was a tradition and it was part of culture. And these are what the properties look like now. One had a do not trespass sign, whatever. Of course, you know, we stopped to just real quick take a picture. You know, these are things that were part of tradition, and you know, when I say they're gone, and I say the void, now I feel like people can really appreciate and respect what I'm saying is that's a huge void, because look at what these displays look like, you know? And then look at, you know, they're no longer. The one house sold, actually, I believe the person said. We said stop and get gas. So I think they said the one house sold, but the other one, the father passed away, and the son was taking over. And he ended up getting really, really sick. Didn't say, and they're not sure if nobody's really certain of if the son has cancer or something, but they hadn't had major surgery and just couldn't do it anymore. And the grandkids, their kids, can't do it. They're taking care of their dad. I don't know the situation, but, you know, God bless him, the son, for taking over this tradition and legacy. His dad passed away in 2008. And the son took over. And I always said, I always remember seeing a Santa. It was interesting because the red Santa, Mr., you know, the Santa, Mr. Santa, Mr. Christ, Santa Claus was his dad. He did it for the kids. And then the son would help, and he would be in the green Santa suit. So I call him Green Santa. And it was always, they always handed out candy canes. It was interesting to read the story about people and what they were doing from the son's point of view of the one house of people. Literally, once they found out his dad passed away, they not only set up a fund at the bank, an account to where people could donate to the electricity, you know, the bill for electrical bill that was probably outrageous, as they said. And not only that, people were donating boxes and dozens of candy canes for the Green Santa, which was him, his, you know, his son. His son took over to pass out. All the decorations, and I mean, people were writing, and I was looking at on social media, actually. There's groups and stuff talking about it, and everybody's wondering what the heck they did with all the displays, because it was a very small house. It's still in the family, the house still exists. Interesting, this picture, if you zoom in, the one thing that they did keep was all the stuffed animals in the front porch. And they boarded it up, as you can see. But all the stuffed animals that his dad collected through so many decades, you know, starting 1970, you know, antiques. You couldn't even, I mean, they had enough room to walk through. I remember you just walk up the steps, and if you could envision this, and this is where it's boarded up, but you'd walk in and they'd have it lit and all these different Santas. And here's a picture here I found. This is the front of the house, and it was, you know, drove past it and had a light display in honor of his dad, the year he was born and the year he passed. And, it was appropriate, well thought out. And I think it was appropriate also to leave the display in the porch and patio. That's protected, and, you know, they've got cameras and stuff, of course, but, you know, things outside, they got just very, very small limited lights. The other house completely sold. It's, you know, do not trespass. I can't imagine the people who bought it. I mean, I can't imagine how many people probably walked up and just got old. So they have it gated shut, and, you know, that's what I mean, is what I was so used to, like visiting my stepside, my aunt and my uncle and their kids and that, and they're passed away during this time with all this craziness and doing everything you could to keep me to where I could not enjoy being part of a unit and going over to see them. You succeeded. But how do you feel about yourself? Because you're hearing what you took away from me that is not about money. It's part of tradition and celebrating holidays. It's part of what I knew. Anybody, you have somebody do that to you, you're going to feel a certain way. Bent, resentment, animosity, whatever. I just hope I can shake it off with therapy. Animosity is very strong, stronger than anything. I have to be able to shake that off as a gift for myself, part of peace, you know, because that's not fair to me. But I'm so glad I was doing the research, and a friend of mine's parents was curious to see what these houses look like. And here they are, before and after. And then, you know, I'm glad I got all the emotion out, and I thought, oh man, I went through all that emotional stuff with the psychologist in Ohio, and I don't have this. And you gotta remember, ladies, when you're going through ovary stuff and you're going through oncology treatments, it affects your ovaries. it affects your, I mean, I got blood work to prove it. It has thrown everything off. I mean, the levels dipped. I said 30%, it was 3.7% on one level. It was just, it passed the point low. I mean, you go down to zero. I'm not that close to zero. Your body starts like still thinking, you know, it's just, what I'm going through is just this weird self. This is where the battle of my opinion versus, you know, one specialist, strong little opinion. And then the oncologists and those that came in town and those part of the group of 13 that they knew and they saw and they got to do their own, use their own equipment, which was brand new, high tech. And they got to see a vision and a three dimension of the sucker. And then you have, you know, a specialist, you'll have specialists that don't, you know, I don't believe this exists. I don't believe a very remnant syndrome exists. I don't believe that you can get tumors off this stuff. I don't believe blah, 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 blah. And you get the strong will clash. And let's talk about that. That just happened, you know, a couple of months ago. Yeah, about almost 3 months ago. You know, you gotta bow out of that stuff. Is it strange and bizarre what I went through? Yes. Is it rare? Well, yeah, 13 in the world. It's rare, but it happened. They just had a story on the news. What is it, twins born in a lady with two different uteruses? She had two uteruses? Not one uterus, two. So anything's possible. I mean, anything is. But I realized today too, I mean, my benefits stop on the 3rd of January. I'm like, maybe this is a good time for insurance. You know, and now I'm gonna have to switch. And that's scary too, because I'm self-pay. You know, when you have to go back to your oncologist, you know, I'm gonna be, I don't know. You know, across that bridge when I get to it. I should say just across that door when I get to it, walking in, I get smacked with a, you know, self-pay bill. You know, it is what I'm trying not to even go down that path. Because I know through therapy today, if you do it on that path, you're going to really spike your anxiety. And I wouldn't blame you, Kim, but let's just not even think about that right now. Talk about great, but stop yourself before you start feeling that anxiety and just this is too much, and your brain goes to overdrive, because that's what anxiety is. And then you start talking really fast like that. That's my anxiety. And people with anxiety, a lot of people talk real fast because your brain is just, and then you go into panic attack. I ain't going no panic attack. And I sure the hell ain't having no damn anxiety attack either. But I don't know on that, but I've realized that clashing. I knew there was going to be something going to pan out of that. They had their powwow when I left the office, and they had it that same day. Let's just say another doctor kind of didn't know what to say, but they knew that wasn't good, because you have oncologists and well-reputable, well-known oncology groups or oncology specialists, and they're from different parts of the states, and everybody's, you know, together and collaborating on my case. And then you got NIH, Rare Cancer Institutes, and that. And then you have, you know, another group of specialists that were like, well, I would just, you know, I don't believe ovarian rimps and rat. And they read the notes, saw they didn't believe it, and that's all she wrote. That's all I gotta say. It made me uncomfortable during the visit because I didn't want to get into it. When they're asking me, do you have their phone number in your phone? This is not a joke. I'm in a room with everybody, and they're asking me, point by looking at me, do you have the lead oncology specialist? Do you have their phone number in your phone? I lied. I really did. I said, no, I don't think so. And they looked at me, they said, you don't have them in your phone? You should have all your doctors in your phone. I did. They were just planning on calling them out right there in front of me. Like, and it literally said, how dare them to sit there and think that ORS doesn't exist, and you came to us and a professor, and we did all these treatments and that. We wouldn't do just treatments and what we did if it was just a simple cyst. That's not true. We just couldn't stage it directly to where it's verbatim or anything because we couldn't get to it. But we treat it as such because it wasn't liquid filled. It was solid. There's enough proof and enough of what it could be, what it could not be, crossing out what it wasn't and what it was, and then we went in right away. It was like a slap in the face they took it from one of my specialty groups. You know? I don't know. Is it a strange twist of fate that maybe it's good that my benefits are going to be done next month? I mean, and have to change doctors. I mean, is it time now? Because it's made me feel uncomfortable. It's not good. I knew all hell would break loose if that oncology group ever found out what they said and if they wrote it down, and I'll be damned if they didn't write it in their notes. And they read it. They had 2 weeks to go through all of my, you know, since they saw me, they asked everything, and they read it. And it was literally, that's what stuck. It's because they questioned their expertise and their experience dealing with especially rare cases. And it was literally, like I said, slap in the face to them. It wasn't good. So I don't know, is it a blessing or not? I don't know. I know I'm going all over the place this podcast, but just try not to think about, you know, it is what it is. Once again, it is what it is. But I wanted to do this podcast because I wanted to share the point of this. I wanted to share the pictures of not walking down memory lane, but driving down memory lane, and what this used to look like and what I used to see every year. And I still miss going over my aunts and my uncles and my stepside. I don't care if I saw them once a year, if I saw them once a billion years. It doesn't matter. Like I said, it was a point of getting together and everybody was together. Family is a unit. It's a unit. It's not one person. If other people are alive, if it's just one person alive, then yes, you could say one person, single. But family is plural. But if it's one person still alive and there's some people who have only one family member alive, you know, God bless your heart, then yes, it's one. But when you have many alive, it's a family unit, and you celebrate as a unit. And everybody, if everybody else is celebrating together in a whole, then that's a unit celebrating. I should never have been or be shortchanged in having the same, being allowed the same as everybody else. And I'm going to say it. I don't know why I always was excluded as a unit, not singular. A unit. You know? Don't wait till last second to save face. Don't wait till last second on anything to save face. Don't wait last second just to try to appease and go, okay, well, I'm just going to say this so then I don't look bad, whatever. This isn't like one time. This is years. This is over a decade. I have animosity, resentment, whatever else you want to say. I'll raise my hand. At least I'm in therapy. I'm not the kind of person, if I'm going to have a panic attack, or even if I thought I was depressed, I'm not the kind of person that's going to sit back and not do any goddamn thing about it. Excuse my French. I'm proactive as hell, or I've been dead a million times over. I'm proactive. I'm going to figure it out. Let me have it. What's going on? Got medicine for it. We're going to treat it. We're going to do treatments. Let's do it. I don't have going through tests and seeing whoever. I don't have depression. I don't have clinical diagnosis for depression. Did I feel some type of depression the past 3 days per therapist today? No. That was anxiety, and that's you feeling. And it's raw. And you expressing yourself on a podcast and showing people it's okay to feel. And this is me. Past the laughing and the skits and the puppeteering. It's like, this is really me. And I've went through some things in life that weren't pleasant. And many times, I wish I could raise my hand. And in many situations, I deserved it, but I've already cleaned my skeletons out. You could eat off the floor right now or just lick the floor if you like. I don't care. Whatever. People weird. Lick the floor. I don't know. I don't know. This is crazy TikToks. Anything. I am going to give nobody ideas now. But that's not depression, as I was told, you know, today. It's not depression. That's not depression. That's anxiety. That's just your mind was racing because you actually got to feel what you haven't felt in the last 2 years is being alone and solitude and being able to feel what you really needed to feel because of what was going on and what's really going on, the truth. You don't invite somebody at the last second just to save face so you don't look bad. Because per therapist, sorry, that doesn't work that way. You know, when people already as a unit have plans, then you include everybody's plans. Don't not include someone and wait till last second just to save yourself so you don't look bad, because you already look bad. So it's just per therapist, that's just an excuse. An excuse is just excuses. You plan ahead for holidays, people do. Always last second, when you're talking about a unit, we talk about celebrations, you're talking about memories, you're talking about tradition. We're not talking about like a friend of mine calling and saying, hey, you know what, instead of having campfire coffee and, you know, with family friends and having you over, it's raining, so take me down. You know, when you're podcasts and talking about how tradition was, take me down memory lane. I'll meet you halfway. You know, they're not from around here. But once I sent them, like I said today, I sent them the pictures and that, and I found some yesterday too, I was researching, reading about it. They were absolutely like, you know, that is something to remember. You know, I don't blame you for having that emptiness, because that's something really special. But Kim, you'll always have those memories. And that's something, even with these vacant properties, that nobody will ever take away from you. Not while you're alive. You have those memories. And I have pictures too. You know, on a phone, Eric, that you didn't pay the payment plan. You didn't pay your phone bill and gone. These are pictures that you knew I was trying to get off that phone to download. They're in my phone. That's all I'm going to say, because I just can't go there. That just, oof, no. Things he's done now. Engagement rings and stuff. No, it's not. I just can't. Because that's just going to just trigger me with my anxiety. I'm just not. No, it's not worth my valuable, precious, sacred time. That's all I got to say. That'll be held in a different way in court. Eventually, I'm going to get there. There's always an end to every story. Amen. But, you know, I made it through the holidays. Second year. That's the last year. This wasn't supposed to be meant this year for me to be by myself. Eric knew he was supposed to help out, and if I wanted to do things, whatever, and he understood that, and he agreed, but he did a goddamn thing. That's not okay, and it's not forgivable, and I definitely ain't gonna forgive. Sorry. I'm just not. That's downright just no. Not going there. Just not gonna go there. Hell no, I'm not going there. Not worth my time. But for anybody else, and what, the 4 million plus people, whatever they said, they're celebrating Christmas alone. I mean, alone, solitude, you know, whatever. Solitary Christmas confinement, whatever you want to call it. I mean, that should be a movie. Movie name. I'm just going to say in this podcast, I'm damn proud of you. Most importantly, you should be beyond damn proud of yourself. You survived. You made it through. It was most likely brutal as hell. It was mentally challenging, the most mentally challenging thing. You're probably watching your neighbors and everybody else having people over and celebrating and cars all full of their house. And you're home alone. You're by yourself, you know. I still was able to enjoy the true meaning of Christmas all along. They took away, you know, all those displays are gone. They've been taken away. They're gone. But there's still memories. But I'm going to say the real meaning of Christmas wasn't taken away. And that was that beautiful manger scene and those hand-carved wax figurines at a place that is family tradition. It's been there forever and ever, ever, way back, as far as I can remember. It was nice to see Christmas past and end it on Christmas present now, which is the true meaning of Christmas and the birth of Jesus, you know, and lying in a manger and the wise men display and everything. And, you know, that took a really dark, depressive holiday. And for me, it turned it around into something beautiful. And I forgot instantly about all the sadness. I forgot about all the anxiety. And honestly, I just left and ended Christmas before going home and celebrating with my fur babies. And probably kids do the same way. Is I left Christmas with a smile. Because although our loved ones in my situation aren't here, and you know, the true meaning of Christmas is no longer, and there's a void of over a decade and things that were never okay and not fair and should never happen. But I can't change that. I have to do the best to move forward and start new traditions, and things that were are no longer. And you know, I even have to say this, as I even driving by my uncle and his brother's garage, you know, automotive place was always there on the way, and you always drive by and see it or beep or whatever. And sometimes way back in the day, you stop by and say hi, and they'd always have donuts from the bakery like right around the corner they'd walk to. I wouldn't say corner, but same street. And I literally picture here I drove by and that was gone too. The for sale sign right in the front. There's so many things going on that life stopped for me, but it kept rolling. Life in general for others. And it was sad to see, not stay in the family, but things happen, you know? And to see that vacant as well. That was sad. But you have to take that sadness of things that were part of your life and memories, and whether somebody contributed to taking that away from you or it just happened or life just happened, you know, you have to make something good out of something bad or you're not going to be living a very happy life. That's all I got to say. You got to take the darkness and figure out the silver lining and whatever that means for you. And that's just, isn't that just life in damn general? Ending it on a positive note, like I did on Christmas Day. And next year, alone for the holidays, I'll make sure, as far as much as I can do in my power, to make sure that nobody has to be alone during Christmas or any other holiday. Amen.